Good to be with y'all this morning. It's been a while since I've been here. Acts chapter 17 for you. Not all of it, but kind of going to give you a little rundown on it. You know, the Apostle Paul at that time was in Greece, traveling, doing the work of the Lord, spreading the gospel. He come to a major city, which is still there today, is called Athens. And the reason I'm doing this is because I'm going to use some stuff today that is part of the culture. You know, and this is where I got it from. Paul tended to use the things that the people knew in the part of the culture to get his points across. And a lot of times, people understand things better that way. And that's the way I like to do stuff. Because what good is a lot of talking if nobody understands it? You know, I try to get it in a context where people can understand what I'm talking about. Start, on verse 22 of chapter 17 of the book of Acts. It says, "When Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is God of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all things life and breath and all things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, if they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto silver, or gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of his ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and thereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." We'll stop right there. You know, as we see here, Paul, just being the intelligent man that he was, just happened to notice, you know, when he looked at the temple, you know, he saw the one to Athena, you know, the one to all the other gods, and they were scared they were going to miss one, so they put one to the unknown God. Well, they didn't want to miss any, you know, they wanted to worship all of them. So being Apostle Paul knew who the God was, the only real true God. He took that opportunity there, the unknown God. Well, boy, I can use that. That way I can get a foot in the door, which he did. You know, without being killed or stoned or beat or jailed or whatever, because like I say, a lot of times you make them mad. You know, and what is this? You know, this isn't what we're used to. You know, a lot of people are that way. A lot of churches are that way. Not that it's not true. They just never heard it before. And because they ain't heard it before, they don't believe it has any truth to it. But with this being said, I'm going to bring up a few things today at this time that's kind of related to the season that we're in. You know, people talk about all kind of scary things this time of year. You know, just for the spirit of the season. They talk about demons and possession and zombies and stuff like that. I'm gonna try to bring a little bit of that up as well. Let's see. Let me see if it's Mark chapter 5. try to get this in a little better order, y'all. Yeah, let's not do that right now. Let's turn your books to your Bible to Mark 8, if you would, 8:27. And this is a question that everybody needs to ask yourself, and I'm going to ask y'all today, just as Jesus asked all his disciples. In Mark chapter 8, verse 27, Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea and Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, "Whom do men say I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say just one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answered and saith unto him, "Thou art the Christ." And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But he had turned about and looked on his disciples. He rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Let's stop right there. You know, that shouldn't be any problem with anybody today when you ask, who is he? Who is Jesus? But you know, even in his own church, supposedly, he is. People can't answer that question. You know, they got all kind of different answers. Well, he's a prophet, just like they said. Oh, he's Elijah. No. He's just a preacher, a priest, just a man. But not believing who he is, that describes the Antichrist, actually. Those that don't believe he is God, that's what he refers to as Antichrist. Was he God or was he man? He was both. Well, how can he be both? Well, he's fully both. Well, part of it, well, he's fully God and fully man. So that's really, you know, a lot of churches, before you can, you know, actually be a part of that church, which, you know, they want you to sign this doctrinal statement, you know, I've noticed. Well, you know, that you do believe this, and this is your decree and all this, but everybody should know who Jesus is. I really should know that he was not just a man. He was all those things, though. He was a preacher, I guess. But he was God as well. And that's what people don't understand. But there's so many different... that's the reason they went through so much detail. You know, the canon here, the first four books of the gospel, to explain to us who he was. Because they knew that without some type of sign or some type of miracle, there wouldn't nobody believe him. Which is, I understand it's hard. You know, but faith is not something, well, I ain't saying it's something you're born with, because a lot of times that's predestination comes in on that too, so I don't want to get into that right now. But a lot of times, some people never will have faith, never will believe that's who he is, but you know, that's while we're in Mark, let's turn over to Mark 5. Like I told you, we're going to talk about some of them demons there. You know, Jesus was about his teaching. You know, and he'll come out of the ship. Let's just start on 5. Mark chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 1. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with shackles, with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Let's stop right there. You know, there's a demon right there that just told you who Jesus was. And then there's preachers now that don't know. I knew instantly who he was. He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" And you know, that's a shame. Everybody else knows who he is. Even the demons know who he is. He didn't want him to torment him. You know, a lot of people don't believe that. You know, the way science is today, and I know I have time describing this or trying to explain this to some people. People try to have a medical explanation for everything. You know, they want to explain everything in the Bible. Well, that was just a meteor come down and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's all it was, but that. You know, this guy, he just had epilepsy. He wasn't. Yeah, everybody's got another way to explain the Scripture. You know, in a way that they can deny the truth or deny what it says. Now, if you're going to believe it, you need to believe it all. I do. Because how can you just... And a lot of people do that too. Well, we just pick parts of it. Well, I believe that, but you know, I really don't believe this part. But what part do you believe? Well, let's go. Yeah, I believe that. You really can't do a lot of that. You have to believe it all. Or none of it. I believe it was. And as we get through here, let's start back at Mark chapter 5. We're going to start back at verse 8. "For he said unto the man, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many." Y'all know what legion is? It means 10,000. That's a lot. "And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place and into the sea. They were about 2,000 that were drowned in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast." You know, after he did that, they didn't want him around. Yeah, they wanted him to leave then. "Well, you messed up my livelihood. You killed all my wild pigs there." After he helped that man, and they knew who he was, they didn't want him there. He made them uncomfortable. So obviously, so they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. But they didn't want Jesus around. You know, after what he did, you know, for the man, poor man. Been plagued about all his life. Everybody knew of him, living among the tombs. But, you know, nowadays, you know, people have they want to think of something else. Well, it really wasn't what it says it is. It was something else. And then that's what they thought it was way back then, because they really didn't know. You know, they really didn't know. I tell you, even right now, man has forgotten more than he knew. Other than the recent computer age, everything else has been done before. Way long time ago. And I know people don't understand that. They had electricity back 5,000 years ago. Had batteries. Had all kind of stuff. Had real complex machinery that people just don't see how they did it. Well, how did they build those things? You know, all these great two-tons. They had all kind of stuff. But a lot of that technology's gone, lost through time. But they want to go back to, well, they were just simple. They really didn't understand. See, we really the only ones that know. They didn't really know nothing back then. You know? See, we educated. We know. We went to Harvard, and then people told me this and told me that. But it gets back to, well, what do you say? Or who do you say he is? Yeah, that's the real question this morning. Who do we say he is? And do we believe that there is other things that we can't really explain? You know, demons. A lot of people don't believe in possession, stuff like that. Admit it's not common. And there are other things that do make it look like it, but there are, you know, actual accounts of it. And there's a lot of stuff that people can't explain. They'd like to, but they can't. And you know, this is just widespread, this denial of Christ and who He is, which, and like it, in the beginning when I told you, that is the Antichrist. And that spirit has permeated this country, in the government, in everything. You know, they don't want you to say anything. They don't want you to pray. They don't want you to even say Jesus no more. We're getting all this out of the military. No, you can't have chaplains. They might pray in the name of, ooh, Jesus. Oh, you bring everybody up, just don't say that one. Why? Because they know it's true in their heart. But you know, that is the spirit of Antichrist. When they would rather, you know, they say things. Well, they call it political correctness, I guess you might say, so that, you know, everybody likes me. You know, I want everybody to like me. So what do? They double-minded. End up talking out of both sides of your mouth, and that's really common nowadays, too. And people let it go. Don't think nothing about it. Don't call them to it. You know, what about this? Oh, they don't even do that. Well, you know, it's politicians, so I let them do it. You look at James chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, I think we know that too. And also in James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Because that's what's really popular in this time and day and age. Well, I really want to be both. I can't put all my apples in this cart. What if it ain't? You know, I don't want to alienate these people. You know, it might be one out of every 1,000 that's not a Christian. Or claims to be, now, you know. Because a lot of people, it used to be a stigmatism about being an atheist, but not anymore. You know, that's, they have pride in that. Denying the Lord. You know, well, that offends me. I really don't want to hear that. So when they ask them a question, well, they do. They can't really answer it, you know, in that way because they're scared it might offend somebody. And let's turn to Matthew. I'm going to look at this for you. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to read verse 37 for you. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So whatsoever is yes or no, anything else is evil. Now that's what it says. So I really can't give a direct answer to a lot of things because that fear of rejection, you know, that's one of the biggest things that people feel rejected. You know, if somebody don't agree with them, you know, 100%. And you know, nobody, I don't really agree with everybody. I mean, my daddy don't agree. And is hard to, you know, because God gives everybody a different level of understanding, period, you know, about what they understand. And there's a lot of things that people don't see. That's there because this is the Word of God. And it's like a compressed computer file. I mean, one verse can be unpacked into a great lesson. Just a whole 2 or 3 hours out of one verse. Because of its comes from God. But so a man wrote it. Yeah. I'm sure of that. I mean, I know they didn't write the Ten Commandments. He wrote that. They just copied it. But that willingness to deny the truth, to please everybody. Yeah, he don't want nobody to think bad of you. But I tell you what, I don't care what you do, you can't please anybody. I've learned that. The hard way sometimes. And everybody, you know, I used to tell my wife that. She was scared to hurt anybody's feelings. She didn't want nobody to think bad of her. There's one thing I want to read for you this morning. Let's look at Luke. And this is very seldom even talked about. The book of Luke. We're going to go to 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 26 says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Woe unto you if everybody speaks well of you. So there's no need to get unglued about somebody saying, "Well, I don't really like him." Good. "Well, they say this, say that." Good. You know, I don't want anybody to like me. I'll speak well of me. Because it says not to. There's woe unto you when they do. Something ain't right. And you kind of got to be one or the other. You know, "Well, I'm going to keep one foot over here. I'm going to straddle that fence just perfect. That way, you know, everybody's going to like it." End up, nobody likes you. Because any time, I learned this the hard way. You have any thing that you hold to, any conviction that is rooted in righteousness, people will hate you. Even though you do nothing but good for them, they actually hate you. And it just really makes you feel bad. But, you know, what can you do? You know, you do nothing but good, and they hate you. You do everything they ask you to do. Go way out of your way to help them, but they still hate you. That's fine. Because, see, a lot of people want to do that. They want to be right on that fence there. They don't want to say yeah. They don't want to say no. Maybe. But, well, that's evil. Maybe. Either one or the other. Believe he's the Christ or not. You know, there's one other one we're going to look at. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 16. Everybody knows this. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." So, you know, that's usually what happens. That's what Jesus said is going to happen. Because you were neither, you know, you wanted to ride a fence. "I will spit you out of my mouth." You know, that ain't really too pretty a way to put it, but that's basically about what it means. Because you want everybody to like you. You want to, you know, deny the Lord when it's convenient for you. But when it's not, "Well, yeah, I believe every word." It's going on who's listening. Double-minded. Unstable in all his ways. And there's another little comparison. I heard somebody say this a couple of weeks ago, and I really didn't think much about it at the time, but really it started making sense to me. You know, it's a big deal. You know, zombies is a big thing in the culture now, you know. All these half-dead things, you know, you shoot them, they don't die, they keep coming back. Well, you know, everybody's one, really. If you think about it, that sin nature, that just keeps coming back. You know, I don't care, you kill it, knock it down, boy, that thing keeps coming back. You know, and to me, it makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. You know, because you war against that spirit that's inside of you. Man, who's going to win today? You know, just like everybody knows, that there's nobody perfect, you know, and people tend to put their hope in another person, and boy, they're going to fall every time. You can't put your hope in any human. You know, a lot of people say, well, what about the Pope? You know, he's supposed to be, what they call it, flawless or something, without error. I don't see that. Well, everybody but the Pope. No, ain't in this book. Maybe in theirs. Because a lot of people I talk to, they do. I say, well, maybe that is in your Bible, but it's not in mine. Yeah, well, I'm one of them. I have to have the chapter and the verse. I have to read it, and I have to know myself. You know, and everybody needs to be that way. You know, because you're going to have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Everybody knows that. He's not going to be with you. The preacher ain't going to be there. You know, I've heard people, well, do you read and check to see if that's right? My aunt told me this one time. No, but we pay the preacher to. What if he ain't? Because you believe a lie, you know, you're going to be damned as well. Well, I didn't know it was a lie. Well, could you read? Did you have the truth? Did you want the truth? You know, but that is a big thing today. And yeah, you're a Christian, just wants to fit in. You know, we really got to think about that too. I mean, are we doing this just to try to please somebody? Our mama? Well, I was called to preach. Called by who? Your mama? Yeah. And I know, I'll tell you the truth, I used to go just for my mama. So if you wouldn't yell at me, get mad at me. And I'm sure a lot of people do, you know, at times, come for different reasons. But in the end, you got to come for Him because He asked you to. That if you don't eat or drink of my flesh, you have no part in me. Can't do that at home. He asked you to do it here. You know, with others. He said, pray one for another. He didn't say, pray to me, you know, because, well, he did, but not in that when you need help. You know, because we need people that we can talk to and we can lean on that hold us accountable when we have trouble, no matter what it is. That's why he said, pray ye one for another. Talk about it. That's in closing this morning, that's what I really wanted everybody to know. If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, that don't sound right, does it? But it's there in Joshua. Joshua 24 in verse 15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, but choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, that's what we got to do. And that's what Joshua said. You know, he was kind of mad because they were the people that worshipped other gods, you know, outside the captivity. You know, when they were in the wilderness. See, you know, Joshua had to take over. God was pleased with Joshua. That's really he led him into the promised land. He was pleased with him. He kept the whole truth. He kept it all. He, you know, got this part of it, and he kept all of it. But he was kind of mad at them, because they did. They thought, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve. You know, that's what made him mad. You need to go ahead and choose it. And that's what, that's the word that I had for you this morning. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask anyone if they not sure or they need prayers at the church, or they want to be a part of the body of Christ. We leave everybody this time to come forward, that we can confess our sin one to another, that we can pray one for another. I'd like to ask you to do so at this time.